Praise the Lord. As we continue through the book of Psalms, today we're going to again take a few and fly over, then look at 25 a little closer. We left off with the three that were considered, you know, connected about the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, Psalm 22. About his death, 23, about his life and his role in our life as current shepherd today. And then his coming again, chapter 24. Beginning in chapter 25 this morning, the scripture we read this morning for the scripture reading, it's a prayer of David, by David, for deliverance, for freedom, intervention. Chapter 26 is an examination that David asked the Lord, you know, try my heart, look at me, see if there's any sin in me, expose it, that there be nothing between us. Chapter 27, a declaration of faith. 28, David rejoices over an answered prayer. 29 speaks about the powerful voice of God. Notice in chapter 29, verse 1, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, do his name. Worship the Lord, the beauty of holiness. Paying our debt of giving God glory, do his name. David went on to describe this thunderstorm. Most likely he was probably, you know, out on his palace porch, seeing the storm develop out over the Mediterranean, you know, the dark cloud storm front. He's seeing the Lord's voice is more powerful than the storm. Over the waters, he goes on, and maybe he witnessed the winds of the storm knocking down some trees. He splinters the cedars from Lebanon. The voice of the Lord, using a storm and the power that's in a tornado or a hurricane, or a violent storm and the destruction in its path. As a little illustration, God's voice, God, is so powerful. And he deserves our glory and our recognition and our worship. As David exhorts us to give him the glory. He goes on in chapter 30, another praise for answered prayer and a deliverance. In chapter 31, the Lord is a fortress in adversity, and we're exhorted to be of good courage. You'll find comfort in the Psalms and for troubled times and times of adversity, in unstable times, times where the economy is without any semblance. The whole bottom could fall out of our economy. This happened before. You know, and during the crash, I was reading a commentary about one that wrote a commentary or sermon following the crash. Like, it was fresh. And, you know, these people, they put all their money and hope and security in the stock market. They lost everything because of the crash. And it's happening today. A lot of people are losing money. But Jesus is the same. Today, yesterday, and forever. He's not unstable. You know, he's not freaking out. There's no economical disaster or problem with him. He doesn't need to be bailed out. He can be trusted in. He's our stability through troubled times. As David said, he's a fortress. Times of adversity, run to him. Hide in him. As you go under a pavilion in the rain, come under his wings. This morning, we're going to take a closer look at Psalm 25, the one we read this morning. You know, today, not only is the economy unstable, you know, but the world's in a mess. And, you know, the recent announcements, you know, Clay Aiken, you know, coming out of the closet. He's living in the gay lifestyle, or worse, Ray Bolt, Christian singer. Man, that one's just tough to accept. It's true. I looked it up. It's no longer hearsay. But it's terrible for him to say, I'm not fighting the struggle anymore. I'm just going to go with, you know, these inner desires. And he adapts the gay lifestyle. And him being a Christian gospel singer for so many years and the influence and the ill effect he's going to create among so many people because he caved in and went the way of the demonic temptation and persuasion. But we live in a world that's a world of sin and darkness, rebellion. We're born in this world. Christ revealed himself to us and desires that we be delivered from this world. But in Ephesians, the Bible tells us, which you once walked according to the course of this world. The world has a current or a persuasion or a draw. Not only the trends of the world, but there's a flow and a direction of the world. It's really a misdirection. It's a direction going the wrong way. And it's powerful and it's strong and it surrounds us. And it bears a persuasion. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. It's wide. Many are there on it. You know, it's popular. The masses are going with the flow and the direction. The wrong way they're going. The Bible tells us that we're to be delivered. We were born in fallen nature because of sin. The Bible describes those that are lost in darkness as being blinded and captive. Till he turns the lights on, till he rescues us. All out, you know, effort to eradicate God from public life in the school system. You know, can't pray in school anymore, to mention God's name, the Ten Commandments. And it's ironic that the only means of our salvation they seek to sever, cut off the lifeline that can rescue them and deliver them and help them, free them, save them. We live in a world that has a persuasion and influences that are anti-Christ, anti-Christian, strong influences and persuasions. And, you know, the Bible tells us about, Isaiah says that, you know, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Today, you know, how they purport and support gay lifestyles and same-sex marriage as if it's good and right and the thing to do. Don't judge anybody. But it's diametrically opposed to God's word and God's morals. It's wrong. It's the wrong direction. But the persuasion is strengthening. The influence is greater. It turns my stomach, I hear about Ray Bolts. Literally. I mean, after we heard, I grabbed Roseanne. I said, man, we have to get it together. We have to be strong. That's what we have to do. The current is strong against Christ. We have to be stronger. The persuasion and the influences against God and his word, against his holiness, the wrong direction, we have to be stronger. We have to be rooted in Christ. That's what David's talking about, being delivered and living free, being right on the right road, standing up in a fallen world, seeing, freeing the blind and the captive, counter our culture that the masses are heading on. There's a danger of the influence and persuasion as, you know, media picks up on it and, you know, the trends are loosening and compromise is gaining strength. Is the influence affects us, you know, like Lot. His soul was vexed You know, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. We live in close to these persuasions, these trends, these influences. And they taint our heart, our thoughts, our faith in a negative way. That's, you know, drawing us back. We're losing our saltiness, our illumination as being light of the world. It's a danger to our children, a greater danger to our grandchildren. The need to be delivered and strong. We must be born again and real Christians in these times. We don't have a choice. You know, things are polarizing for us to step up and be real. And Lord, help us respond and follow. But that's what David, he's a man after God's own heart. Chapter 25, verse 1, he turns to God, or we could liken that to turning to Christ. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. We used to sing that psalm in the 80s, you know, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And how it embodies trust. He turns to, you know, Christ, as we are to turn to Christ for deliverance. And he entrusts Christ with his soul. You know, you don't just hand over your heart to anybody. But David does. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my heart and my soul. I trust you with my heart and my soul. He's trustworthy. Turning to him in these times strengthens us. But he looks to him. He says, I lift up my soul. You know, lifting up my soul, lifting up our soul in a fallen world at a lower level, fallen nature. We lift up our soul to a higher life, another plane, another dynamic, his. Unto thee, you know, another illustration could be in another place in the Psalms. David says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. You know, you're bummed out. You get negative or distressed, and our soul gets down. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I trust you to lift up my soul. I trust you with my soul, my heart. Raised up over. You know, the world is filled with persuasions, influences, indoctrinated. The culture is so antichrist, and it's getting stronger. And we live in an age that's turning from God, and we don't recognize how quickly, how fast the compromise is creeping in and taking over and, you know, influencing and tainting us in our faith because of the culture, how grossly dark it's getting. We think we're still cool. Of course, we're way closer than they are to Christ. But because of how far they've gone, you know, it's drawing us away from Christ in our holiness, in our, you know, definition of description of fellowship with him, in our view of the world and what the world's really like. But lifting up our soul over this. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You know, he raises us up. Only he can raise us up over the influences and the persuasions that surround us. We turn to him. David says, I lift up my soul to you. Looking up to him. Speaking, this psalm is about deliverance. It's a prayer that God would deliver him. He looks up unto thee, O Lord. You know, the way out sometimes is the way up. He seeks direction. We need direction. The title of the message this morning is God's GPS. We need direction. In verse 4, David says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Show me. Teach me. Lead me. For you are the God of my salvation, and on you I wait all the day. He looks to God for guidance. That's what we're to do. Look to God for guidance. you know, to be delivered from the influence of persuasion of this world, to be set apart, to be freed. David says, unto you I lift up my soul. Show me the way. Teach me what to do. Lead me down the right path. You know, seeking guidance. You know, we think of GPS, or I do. You know, and man, we've come a long way. You know, with computer technology and satellite. You know, it's remarkable that, you know, you can get a little device, put it in your car, and it tells you exactly where you are. You know, and it's because it's a satellite, something over. It's an overview, an oversight, enabling the device. And we look to Him because we seek guidance because He sees ahead. He sees, He's above all this. Looking to Him as to look to God for oversight. God sees and God knows. Teach me, show me, lead me, David says, for guidance. You know, often, so often, oh man, I'm seeking God's will. You know, please pray for me. I'm looking for God's will. It's probably the number one requested prayer. What is God trying to do? Where is He trying to lead me? What does He want me to do? Guidance. And David, seeking guidance, looking unto the Lord for guidance, trusting and trusting his heart and soul to God for guidance, for freedom. There's obstacles to that deliverance and guidance and freedom. David mentions, look at verse 9. He says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. The proud are without guidance. You know, the Bible tells us God gives grace to the humble. Ironside was talking about how self-sufficiency is such an obstacle for us with God. I can do it. I've done it. I know what to do. I know where to go. And I live and rely on my own strength. Because I live and rely on my own strength, I'm lacking and without His guidance. Rely on my own guidance. I can do it. In verse 11, another obstacle. Look at the end of verse 11. David says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Of course, the biggest detour or problem is our sin. You know, the Bible tells us, my arm is not too short that it cannot save, nor is my ear too heavy that it cannot hear. But it's your sin that separates you from God. He goes on in Isaiah, he hides his face. Can't see him, can't hear him, can't sense him. Don't know what he's saying, don't know where to go. Because of my sin. There's sin in me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Bible says the Lord will not hear me. I'm in sin. The biggest obstacle to his guidance and deliverance. But if we deal with sin properly, notice how David, described his sin. He said, pardon my iniquity, it is great. It's my sin. He doesn't, you know, seek to channel it to another source like we often do. You know, if I'm irritable in the morning, or I'll say, well, I'm irritable. I spilled my coffee. Not really saying, forgive me for my anger, for it is great. Forgive me. I have pain. I hurt. That's a good one. I have pain. It's not sin. It's pain. Don't you understand? Channeling it. You know, justifying it as if it's part of me. Not dealing with it. As David does, you know, forgive me. And my iniquity, for it is great. He doesn't minimize it. He doesn't excuse it. He deals with it, with our sin for what it is. Look in chapter 26, verse 2. David, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and heart. You know, to really come in agreement with the scripture and come before the Lord and ask him, Lord, try my heart. I need to be in the light. For if I'm not in the light and I'm, you know, dinking with the Lord, or I'm flirting with the Lord, or I have sin in me, I can't say this. I can't come before the Lord and say, examine me, Lord, when the back of my mind, I know exactly I'm not right. I'll never say that when I'm in sin. Yeah, when I'm bucking or I'm hiding or I'm in darkness. But the proper way to deal with it, David says, examine me, Lord. I'm open before you. Show me what's the barrier. Show me what's wrong. Lord, test my heart and my mind and my thoughts. Turn the lights on, Lord, that in honesty I can be free. I can confess my sin. For you're showing me what it is that's creating the obstacle, what's in the way of me and you. You know, my sin separates me from God. Any sin or any rebellion, any ways in my flesh. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We have strongholds, vain imaginations, arguments in our thoughts. Try my heart and my thoughts, Lord. Pull down strongholds. Casting down arguments in any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Anything in me exalting itself above the knowledge of Christ is an obstacle. I want GPS, man. I want guidance. I want to know his will. I want him to teach me and show me and lead me. But there's a problem. I got an obstacle. And I got to deal with the obstacle. The biggest obstacle is my own sin and my own flesh. I got to come to terms with the truth. Forgive me my iniquity, David says. It's great. It's big. I got a lot of sin. It's ugly. And he deals with it properly. Another obstacle is the past. Look in verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Oh, man. This got me thinking. I started thinking about my youth and, you know, I started, you know, I went to this school and I went there and I moved in, you know, and I started filing, classifying. Some I haven't done in years. You know, what happened? I had 3 or 4 years that were just terribly wasted in my life. And I pinpointed them yesterday. I'm thinking back, okay, I remember being on my motorcycle. That's when I started smoking marijuana. That's what began. I've always been a troublemaker. I always got a rebellion in me. But, you know, the mischievousness wasn't that bad. Then it escalated after I got into drugs. Got into drugs and then crime, darkness. Wasted years. Undeveloped years. You know, never had really good developed years. Go back and, you know, the dysfunction of my upbringing and everything. But the truth is, God's in control for a reason and purpose. You know, accept it. But the sin, the darkness. David says, forgive me of my sin, the sin of my youth, the things I did in darkness, BC. Cleanse me. You know, not only does he, you know, ask for cleansing from a sin, which we get, but the aftermath, the residual, the guilt, you know, the shame of the things we did in our past. Big obstacle. They can dictate, misdirect. They still have power up there. You know, and they can keep us from, he's not going to show me the way. He won't, because I'm unworthy to be shown. The guilt and the shame that misdirects, keeps me from freedom or deliverance, keeps me down here. Instead of, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Raise me up, Lord, above. The past, the sin of the past, the mistakes and the wrong choices of the past. You know, we have to let them go. You know, they rise up. Some, you know, you often pray with somebody and, well, I just can't let it go. But we have to let it go. We got to process it. We have to move on. Forgive me for the sin of my youth, Lord, the wasted years. So David deals with the obstacles. He owns up to his sin. He fesses up. and he lays down and leaves the past. So the Bible tells us, you know, how God reveals and opens himself up. God revelations. Look at verse 14, chapter 25. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord. You know, we have sort of deliverance. We got direction, you know, and a new dynamic. When God, we seek him, you know, and ask him for direction, for guidance, for his will. He operates on a different plane, a different dynamic. It's spiritual. And he speaks to us about things we know not of. He speaks to us with a power outside of ourself. He brings a new dynamic to our life that we can't know apart from Christ. If we trust him, if we deal with our sin, if we honestly confront him. The Bible says that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. You know, it's really the only motive or what would cause me to deal with my sin and come before him in honesty and truth and in light is if I have a true fear of him. If I don't have a fear of him, who cares? But if I have a fear of him, what's in me, what I do displeases him, I need to deal with it. But he does. And the secret of the Lord belongs to those who fear him. Secrets, you know, the truth, the hidden truth. Revelations, he opens up to those who fear him. The Bible tells us, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in John. Jesus talks about the secret things, or him revealing closed up mystery things, GPS things, his will, his plan. To who? In chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak of my own authority. If you desire to do his will, you'll know. You've got to have that desire. You know, in all truth, before I ask for, you know, direction, guidance, I got to be willing to go forward. If I'm not willing to go forward, he's not going to give me direction. Why would he? But if you desire to do his will, Jesus said, you'll know. You'll know the doctrine. You'll know the truth. In chapter 15, Jesus talks about his disciples in the book of John. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. He says in verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The revelation. Opening up the secrets, giving us GPS, direction, guidance, his will, discernment, truth, because he's made us his friends. You know, David, in chapter 15, back in Psalm 25, he was in a jam, verse 14. 15. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Sometimes we get in a jam. You know, he feels trapped. He's stuck in the net, in a web, and webbed. And, you know, he's pulled me out of a bunch of jams. I think back and how many times he's rescued me and helped me and intervened with us, calling upon him, Lord, deliver me. I'm in a mess. I'm in a pickle. I'm in a jam. David does, seeks deliverance. But notice in verse 14, he says that, you know, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And to them, he says that he will show them his covenant. You know, more often than not, the times of deliverance for me come when I realize his truth. He opens up his truth to me, like the truth that's in Romans. You know, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. Deliverance, based upon his truth. He says, he will show them his covenant. You know, That's what I'm talking about. His covenant. When he made a covenant with the church, this is a new covenant based upon my blood, shed blood, granting forgiveness and cleansing and newness and power. He will show them his covenant, the truth, the revelation. The way out may be the revelation of his love, the covenant of his love. He shows us his pardon and forgiveness, that he no longer condemns us, you know, that he frees us. He shows us the truth of his spirit. You know, Paul says, Christ in me, the hope of glory, the truth of what matters, the mother lode, the treasure, Jesus Christ in us, his spirit. Paul teaches the Corinthians, he said that, you know, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But his spirit reveals the deep things of God, the new dynamic, the truth to us, the GPS, his direction, his will, his way. Revealed to us, God's revelations, the secret of the Lord belongs to those who love him. And just one more verse. In chapter 27, verse 13. David, you know, constantly being pursued by his enemies, always in jams, constantly being attacked. You know, his attacks were heightened. Makes this declaration in verse 13. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God Rules seminar thing was about, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due time you'll reap, you know, what you're sowing. Just hang on. And David had the same, you know, stay-the-course mentality. He said, if it had not been, you know, for faith, if I don't continue to believe, then I would have fainted, and I'll fall, I'll cave in, I'll stop, I'll quit. But we must continue to believe. David said, don't be weary. Under the Lord, I entrust. Do you entrust your soul to the Lord? Unto thee, O Lord, do you lift up your soul? David says, we're to lay down the obstacles and request him to open up his truth and his love for GPS, for direction, for guidance, for his will. A new dynamic. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we do ask, Lord, for a trusting heart and soul before you, Lord, to place our heart in your hands. Unto thee, O Lord, do we lift up our souls. And Lord, the truth that you give grace to the humble. And Lord, the truth that our sin is great, and to confess it for what it is, not to try to excuse it or rechannel it or hide it, but to deal with it. The sins of our youth, Lord, the residual that creeps up and affects us today. Lord, we place in your hands. We seek to be delivered and freed as David prayed for deliverance unto you, O Lord. Deliver me from this net. Free me. Lift me up over persuasions and the influences of the past and the culture. Free me, Lord. Give me life. Fill me with your spirit. Deliver me according to your plan, that I can hear your voice and know what you're saying and where I'm at in coordinates with you, that I would have direction to follow you. Teach me, Lord. Show me your ways, according to your word, according to your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. May he tune us in and give us direction. You know, sometimes it's just the reality that he loves us. He loves us. He's pleased with us. He knows us. He knows where we're at and we fall short, but he loves us. The truth of his delivering love and spirit. May the Lord be with you and cover you with his hand and his spirit and his truth. Keep you close to him, that you be nurtured and you feed from him and his hand. Or that he deliver you from any vexation of this world, sin, influence, persuasion of the culture, the media, the lies. Paul says, you know, you walked according to the course of the Lord, according to the power of the spirit of the air, satanic lies, that he would free us and deliver us and keep us free, that we be salty and illuminated for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.